Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
The Belichick to North Carolina story is a fascinating one. We will get to that in the next segment. Texans, Dolphins on Sunday, noon kick. You can hear it right here on Sports Radio 610. Seth and I have got you for Texans Countdown in what will be a cool, and I'm seeing possibly rainy atmosphere out there on Sunday for the tailgates. Yeah, big chance of rain on Sunday. But we'll be there, 9 a.m., doing our thing up on the stage outside the stadium.
Unless it's heavy rain, then we get driven inside.
Yeah. If it turns into an issue, then yeah, we. But
it's not that Sean and I can't handle it. It's that the electronic equipment that
the electronics and the canopy that's over top of us as well gathers water up there, which turns into a very tense situation for people that are standing around the technology. Yeah,
it's like whoever designed that.
Whoever designed it. Didn't design it with an incline, with the water, rolling off here. So let's get to D'Amico Ryans and the Texans. I had a comp for D'Amico Ryans last week, and you look at the way he plays, the route tree, the way he conducts himself. I say he conducts himself, just like he's got some dog on the field, but he's very soft-spoken, doesn't have those diva tendencies. Andre Johnson was the comp. I think he provides a lot to this team, and the role is extremely similar to what Andre was back when Andre was the guy on this offense. He was the guy, the head of the snake you had to stop. Here was D'Amico Ryans. He was asked, what's the one thing that makes Nico so special?
Just one thing? Oh, this is so hard. The one thing that makes Nico special, I would say this, like, just character-wise, just he's humble. Like, he's about the team. He's not a give-me-the-ball guy. Like, he's humble in his approach daily. He's a hard worker. I have to give you more than one. But the humble is the one that sticks out the most to me. Everybody, I'm saying, hard worker, yeah, speed, athleticism, all those traits. But the one thing that sets Nico apart for me, just being around the game for a while now, just seeing how humble he is, he really reminds me of another humble guy who's around here for a while, and that's Andre Johnson.
That's a lot, man. That's a lot to put on the young guy's plate. You are this era of Texans football, Andre Johnson.
Right. Yeah. I think it wasn't a nuts for nuts comparison. It was the humility that he pointed out,
yeah,
and just go about your work, do your job. Very Belichickian. He just Belichick would have loved Andre Johnson.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, Nico Collins would have loved that. but especially because of the way he had kind of a Patriots way about him. Yeah, I think Nico likewise. Yeah, I just don't worry about any drama with him.
No.
I can't imagine. I don't think it's in his persona, which is cool because his persona on the field is that he wants to actually
take your soul,
drive over you with a pickup truck. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's kind of not wired in the off season. When he talked about how he wasn't really thinking about a potential extension or anything like that, I believed him.
Yeah.
He just genuinely seems, and this is where the advantage comes in, I think sometimes it's nice when a guy isn't a first-round pick.
Yeah.
And also doesn't have a gilded path laid out in front of him his rookie year.
Yep.
Nico had to come up through the ranks a little bit and face some adversity, both from the team he was on, his injuries, all of that. So I think he still feels like he's proving himself.
Yeah.
And even this year, it's unfortunate because it was injuries yet again. But still, he's averaging 100 yards per game receiving, but yet isn't a league leader. So he's still not going to be, at the end of the season, he's going to end up not being in those lists of the top several receivers. I think he very much wants to get there.
I'm not so sure. I mean, like, he's not as far back as you would think. I haven't looked at he going into the bye week. Now, granted, some of these guys that were ahead of him have had an extra week of football now because the Texans didn't play last week, so the gap is bigger now. Like, Ja'Marr Chase was leading the league in receiving yards. Going into the bye week, Nico was only like 300 yards back of the league leader. You know,
yeah,
like it's,
yeah,
it's like the amount of yardage he piled up in those first 5 weeks, and really for him it was only like 4.5 weeks because he was gone by halftime of the Bills game. He had, the hamstring was pulled. Like those, that stretch, those first 4.5 games might be the best stretch that any Texans receiver has ever had over the course of a month.
I'll tell you what. You know whoever, you know who should really, everybody in Houston should love Nico Collins and Joe Mixon, except for, if you were being purely mercenary about it, Bobby Slowick. Because you know who gets fired? Coaches who have guys like, wait a second, you had Joe Mixon and you had Nico Collins and they were both averaging CJ over 100 yards per game,
yeah,
and you couldn't have a respectable offense.
Right.
It just, that feels like what it's looked like, which is an offense that is not a well-constructed, well-executed offense, and yet you still have these absolute studs where Joe Mixon has so many games where he has over 100 yards rushing, but they didn't rush the ball well.
Yeah.
You know, because there's just too many tackles for a lot, and it's not Joe Mixon's fault. It's just that's how bad this offense is right now. The only thing really propping them up is the individual performances of guys like Nico Collins and Joe Mixon.
I hate that Nico missed these games, not only because it coincided with the Texans' worst stretch of football this year. He's
500 yards behind Jamar Chase.
Yeah, right, yeah. Now. He's about, and so and he was averaging over 100 yards a game. He missed the second half of the Bills game and then 5 full games.
Yeah.
Like Nico Collins would be having a vintage Andre Johnson type of year right now had he stayed healthy in those 5 games. You know, you go look at the back of Andre Johnson's football card, which I like to call profootballreference.com. And Andre, like from about 2008 to certainly 2008 and 2009, because he was first team all pro both those years, on the Pro Football Reference page, Seth, as you know, they put in bold when you, if a stat is in a bold font, it means you led the league in that stat. And Andre's 2008 and 2009 are slathered in bold, right? I mean,
yeah,
led in receptions, had a ton of yards, average per catch, all these things. That, had Nico not gotten hurt, he would be having a vintage Andre Johnson type of year right now. I have zero doubt about that. I mean, on a per-game basis, he is. But I'm talking about, like, the volume counting stats, you know?
The Bills game would have been the interesting one because he's still averaging over 100 yards per game. And you might wonder, okay, if he had played in those other games, you know, maybe he's not averaging over 100 yards right now. But he had 78 yards on 2 receptions and 2 targets in the first quarter.
Yes.
So he was probably going to end up with a pretty healthy chunk of yardage in that game if he'd been healthy.
So, yeah.
I mean, but hey, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, then
be a wonderful
every
Christmas.
Every day would be Christmas.
Yep,
Sean.
Every day would be Christmas.
You ever think about that this time of year when you listen to the old Christmas carols or stories or anything? You're like, wow. It used to be a big deal to have a bunch of food. Like, it was, wow, yeah, ooh, the Christmas goose. Ooh,
oh, yeah.
You've been growing that all year trying to get it. Like, and, ooh, nuts? Ooh, candy?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
We hardly ever get this.
I know.
Now it's just any other day.
No, and
I was like, oh, look, I can go to the mini mart and get this many calories. It's not, food's a lot easier to come by these days.
Just, yeah, walk to CVS and grab 3 bags of Kit Kats. You're set for like the next 2 weeks. It's great.
Yeah.
D'Amico Ryans was also asked yesterday about Danielle Hunter, who he might be the Texans' most valuable player this year. Now, he and Will Anderson were very silent in that Jacksonville game. I think that had a lot to do with how Jacksonville was handling things, with getting the ball out fast and whatnot. But Danielle Hunter's had a great season. What are his chances for Defensive Player of the Year?
Danielle has done an outstanding job, you know, all year. You know, just so grateful to have him here on our team, him playing for his hometown team. It means a lot to him, meant a lot for us to get him. And he's been everything we can ask for and more. Just the production that he's had, how much pressure he's able to apply on the quarterback, him and his just impact on Will and the entire D-line and what he's able to teach as well. So it's just, and the year that he's having. I mean, he's been having an outstanding year, and of course he should be up for Defensive Player of the Year because he deserves it. Guy doesn't say much, but his play speaks very loud, and the opposing offenses understand they have to account for him because he's such a force when he's out there. So special player, special guy, and I'm very happy to coach him.
So we talked about this a little bit yesterday when we were talking about Kamari Lassiter and how, hey, these next 3 games, could end up like vaulting Kamari Lassiter up in the Defensive Rookie of the Year the conversation, just because, same as Will Anderson last year, he played in that high-profile game at the end of the year, and it seemed like that was a slam dunk. Whereas, meanwhile, Jalen Carter had been the favorite all year long, but then the Eagles' defense fell apart over the back half. So if the Texans can make a big surge, and obviously, first and foremost, you care about team success, but it would be also kind of nice if some of these guys kind of get vaulted back up into contention in these categories.
On these categories, yeah. Like right now, just to for some context here, TJ Watt is the runaway favorite for Defensive Player of the Year, which is interesting that he's this big a favorite. We'll talk about that, but just for where Will is fifth on the board right now, on the odds board, and Danielle Hunter is sixth on the board for Defensive Player of the Year.
TJ Watt is seventh in the league in sacks right now.
Is he at double digits yet? Like,
no, he's at 9.5 sacks. Okay, and it's he's right where Will Anderson is.
Yeah.
Who's not in the running for Defensive Player of the Year.
Right.
I think that, for one, TJ hasn't won one yet, right?
Yeah, he has. He's won one.
Oh, he did win one?
Okay. Yep.
Part of this, and this happens with the Steelers, and kudos to them, there is something about playing on a really good Steelers defense that elevates your stat.
Yes. Yes, there's no doubt about that. I saw it firsthand in Pittsburgh over the weekend, man. There is a vibe to that stadium. There is a vibe to that team. And TJ Watt, look, the very first play of the game, TJ Watt off the edge, TFL. Like it was so cool, man. Like super loud, very first play of the game, TJ Watt unblocked right off the edge. So yeah.
Yeah, that was, you know what that was though too? That was, I was really impressed with that just from one of the things the Steelers do really well. They know their keys, the run pass keys and tells and everything.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a hint. Like TJ knew that Jameis was handing that ball off.
Yes.
He wasn't worried about the boot one bit.
Nope.
And there wasn't a blitz coming on the outside or anything. I've watched the Steelers do this for years. It used to frustrate me because versus Bill O'Brien one year, the Steelers ran, it was like seven safety blitzes in the game, and every single time it was against a run, and the safety didn't even look at the quarterback. Like, so it was obvious that they had a tell on this, either the audibles or the formations or somebody's stance or something. But they only ended up blitzing when it ended up being a run, and the defensive backs knew it was going to be a run.
Yeah.
And that's where they just, year in and year out, they're just better coached as a defense than your average NFL defense.
No doubt. So TJ, big favorite for Defensive Player of the Year. The only Texans players on any odds board right now for any awards are Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, as we just outlined. They're still in the top six for Defensive Player of the Year. Kamari Lassiter is still lingering in that 20, 30-1 range, Seth. He's still on the board, so your ticket, he's still got a shot here. Seth's sitting on a 40-1 Kamari Lassiter Defensive Rookie of the Year ticket. He's going to need like five picks in the last four games.
Well, that's the problem, and this is what you always see with good defensive backs. Early, they get a bunch of interceptions earlier in their career, and then teams stop testing them, and they don't have a whole lot of picks. The Hall of Famers, it's almost to a man, you can look at their stats over their career, and it's not because they get old. It's like in the prime of their career, they're not getting that many picks.
Yep.
And I think Kamari and Derek are the top, I think, 1-3 in the league in terms of opposing quarterback completion percentage for QB rating and all of that. When targeted, they're at the very top of the league. Kamari might be a victim of his own competence in terms of Rookie of the Year, because people tend to go for the bling.
Yeah.
They want a rookie that's got a bunch of interceptions.
No doubt. Yeah. Well, they don't watch all the games, you know, so it's the easiest
thing
to do.
Right, right. Yeah, which is I get it. Yeah. I get it. Yeah, but it is, like, if you're actually a genuine, the Texans' defensive backfield is about average in terms of QB rating.
Yep.
They're not going after Kamari Lassiter. They're not going after Derek Stingley, but there's plenty of other targets to go after.
Yes, yes. Does it feel like Josh Allen should be -450 to win the MVP right now? That is a clear-cut favorite right there.
Yeah. I don't think that he's head and shoulders above Jalen Hurts.
So you got Hurts in there. The order on the,
in terms of like the actual production on the field.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the teams are about the same. You know, Bills are 10-3. I think the Eagles are 11-2. Josh Allen's odds actually improved off of a loss. Like, he was so good in that Rams game. He was minus 275 going into that Rams game. They lost the game, but it was 44-42, and Josh Allen was what kept the Bills afloat in that game. He had three passing touchdowns, three rushing touchdowns. They moved him to minus 450 after a loss. There's only eight guys left on the board. Josh Allen, Saquon Barkley, Lamar Jackson, Jared Goff, Patrick Mahomes. This is in order. Sam Darnold. Jalen Hurts, Jordan Love. Sam Darnold, sixth on the MVP board right now.
I hope Saquon Barkley gets it.
Something different?
Yeah. And yeah. I think the pendulum has swung a little bit back towards the running game mattering more.
Yes.
Just these defenses that have been built to stop the pass, they can be exploited if you run, especially if you have a running back who's a good receiver out of the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
And, I would like to, even though I was skeptical of signing Saquon Barkley in the offseason, and though I know with certainty that Saquon wouldn't be having the same year here
He's
having in Philadelphia. I would be all for that. The NFL has swung back more towards the run game being important, and it's a different look than it was back in the 90s and early 2000s, but I think it matters a lot more than it did a few years ago.
Is Bill Belichick going to North Carolina? If you missed it, that's a done deal. He signed a five-year deal to be the head coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels in college. Is it a big FU to the NFL? That's how it's being categorized by some. We will discuss next.